وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة. صلوات. الله سبحانه وتعالى is asking the Holy Prophet to call towards the path of your Lord with hikmat and a good advice, al-mu'izzatul hasana. And hikmat is defined, the wisdom is defined in tafsir as الدليل العلمي المتقن. That means through an academic, strong academic evidence. Everything of the Holy Quran is Noor, and definitely supported with the Burhan and evidence. And similarly, the Kalam and statements of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam are also Noor and supported with the Burhan and evidences. So, in the hadith of Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn al-Sajjad alayhi salatu was salam, he says that لِبَعْضِ بَنِيهِ يَا بُنَيَّ أُنْظُرْ خَمْسَةً فَلَا تُصَاحِبْهُمْ. Imam alayhi salam is advising some of his children that أُنْظُرْ خَمْسَةً, look at five, don't accompany them, وَلَا تُحَادِثْهُمْ, don't talk to them, وَلَا تُرَافِقْهُمْ, don't be a rafiq or a companion with them, فِي طَرِيقٍ, in any, you know, any path, any travels that we travel, in other words. And then he starts mentioning, obviously, companionship and musahabat has its own impacts, which are undeniable. Whenever we get along with someone in our life, it's definitely going to have impact on our personality. So in Farsi, there is a proverb, they say, if you go to the perfumery where someone is selling perfumes, even if you don't buy the perfume, you will end up having some sort of smell coming from your clothes because you were there for a while. Isn't right? So this is a very logical example to realize that companionship has impacts. So Another example that our scholars of akhlaq mention is that you put the iron next to a magnet, isn't it right? So that iron will also end up the attributes with the attributes of the magnet, because it was alongside a magnet. So this is how the impacts of companionships are. So then Imam alayhi salam says that so his son asked him, Ya Abate Manhum, which are those five people? And Imam alayhi salam replies, Iyaka wa musahabat al kazzab. Keep away from the companionship of a liar. A person who's kazzab, it's definitely a very elaborate discussion of kizb, and it includes so much under that concept. And obviously, this is the mother of all the sins that leads us towards countless other sins. So much has been said about kizb, but that's not what I intended to talk about tonight. So kizb has definitely widespread spiritual problems and impacts for the personality of a person. So iyyaka wa musahabat al kazzab, keep away from the companionship of a liar, fa'innahu bimanzilati sarab, because he's like a mirage. You see, if you're in a desert, you see the mirages, and from far away it seems like you found some oasis of water, or you found some water there. When you keep on walking in the desert, you find there's nothing. It just seemed like water from far away. So this is how Imam alayhi salam is likening the lying liar with the mirage. So basically, and he says that yuqarrib lak al ba'id wa yub'id lak al qareeb. He brings the far closer to you and the closer far away from you. It has been narrated that Shaykh Saduq rahmatullahi alayh had a friend, and he once saw his friend. He was dragging some kind of plant, some branch of leaves in his hand. This friend was taking it in the hand, and he was dragging a goat. A goat, he's showing the plant, a branch of leaves, to the goat. Goat obviously is going to think that you're going to feed him the branch, the leaves. The goat comes towards you, and when he comes towards him, he again hides it away from, doesn't give it to the goat, keeps it away from it. And he kept on doing it several times. So Shaykh Saduq rahmatullah, when he saw this behavior of the friend, he said that I'm not going to make you my companion. Someone who can do a lying pattern, a lie towards an animal, cannot be trusted. I mean, when you can lie towards an animal, how can I trust you? So in Islamic morality, basically we don't lie, we avoid the lying in any form. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he says that la yajidu 'abdun ta'mal iman hatta yatruk al-kizba jiddahu wa hazlahu. That means a servant does not taste the taste of iman unless he quits lying and jokingly and seriously. So in both situations, even if you are lying in a joke, you said, I was just kidding. This is not sufficient in the Shari'i, according to the Sharia perspective. Even if you were joking, it's considered to be a lie. So we don't lie even in our jokes. Even your serious statements will go under the question mark if you start lying in your joking situations. So we don't do that. That's not permissible in Islam, We uphold our values in all situations. Yeah, unless, if you are joking in a situation where your audience already knows that you are, you know, you are kidding. If they know already, then obviously they're not going to accept it as a truth because they already know you are joking. That's different. That's okay. But if they don't know, they will take it as serious. So you cannot say, no, I was just joking, so I said it. That will be considered as a lie in Islamic morality. So we keep, you know, our values towards our, you know, we are truthful in our statements. You know, we are always sincere towards what we say, and our commitments, our covenants, our promises, you know, Ahad and Misaq, and Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, actually, he, please say salawat. Once it's narrated that Imam was needing some money. So he asked some money from, he borrowed some money from a person, 10,000 dinars. And in lieu of that, as a guarantee, wasiqa or rahina, you know, murtahan, what he did, he gave one thread of his abba. You know, he took out one thread of his abba. This is called abba. He took out one thread of it and he gave it as a wasiqa and a guarantee. Keep this thread, give it, that means you give that back to me when I give the money back to you. So he borrowed 10,000 dinars, 10,000 gold coins. And after a while, the narration says that Imam he got some money, so he was ready to pay him back. Now he demanded the thread of his abba. And this guy said, I don't know where I put it. So Imam alayhi salam said, we hold importance for the thread. You know, that means whatever, what I gave it to you, you know, in other words, as the guarantee in lieu of the money, you have to give that to me. I hold importance for that. So finally, obviously, he found out that thread and he gave the thread back and Imam alayhi salam paid him the money. So what we learn in the light of this narration is definitely in Islam we hold importance for our covenants, our misaq, our commitments. Isn't that right? So we are always particular about what we you know, make as a commitment. And please say salawat. وَإِيَّاكَ وَمُصَاحَبَةَ الْفَاسِقِ. And then Imam alayhi salam had said that keep away, to some of his children, that keep away from the companionship of a fasiq. فَإِنَّهُ بَايِعُكَ بِأُكْلَةٍ أَوْ أَقَلْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Because he's going to sell you for one luqmah, you know, one piece of food, or less than that. This kind, these are the tips that we learn from the morality of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. You know, that's, you know, they are categorizing the human, you know, spiritualities into different categories, so we realize how to behave towards a fasiq person. Fasiq is a person who is careless towards Allah and the halal and haram. He does not care about halal and haram. He may be performing one or several harams in his life without doing the tawbah. Anyone who performs one or more than one harams in his life without doing the tawbah is categorized not an adil person, but a fasiq. Obviously, a fasiq's witness is not acceptable in any Islamic court of law. And we cannot pray behind a fasiq. He has to be adil, you know, zahiran, and so on and so forth. The hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam had said, firru kull al farar min al fajr al fasiq. That means Imam Ali alayhi salam is asking us to run away from a fajr person. So Imam is teaching us to keep a distance from a father. There is no room for a Shia, a mu'min person, to say, well, I am a friend with a fajr person, a fasiq person. You know, we don't make friends. I will look at what Imam Ali alayhi salam has taught us. I won't look towards what, you know, what somebody thinks or believes. You know, we learn our teachings and values from the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. There is no friendship with a fasiq. Yes, he is a mu'min, but we cannot call him as a friend. Unless and until he leaves his reckless behavior towards Allah and his Sharia, and he comes back into the realm of taqwa and the fear of Allah, and that's where we befriend only the muttaqeen in Islam. So a fasiq person can sell you for one piece of food, one luqma, uklatun means luqma, one thing, small little thing to eat, or aqal min dhalik, or even less. There are people who are working for their own dunya, the interests of their temporary world. Isn't it right? Instead of working for akhirat, فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. How Imam Ali al-Islam has said that be the children of akhirat and don't be the children of dunya, this world. So there are people who are working for their own interests of this temporary world. There are people who are working for not their own interests, but they are working for the interests of others. Isn't that right? There are whole different kind of people available. Sharrun nas man, the hadith says, Sharrun nas man ba'a akhiratahu bidunyahu. The worst of the people is the one who sold his akhirat for the sake of his dunya. And then Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَشَرٌّ مِّنْهُ. And worse than him is the one, مَنْ بَاعَ آخِرَتَهُ بِالدُّنْيَا غَيْرِهِ. Worse than him is the one who sold his akhirat for the sake of someone else's dunya. Someone else is making a fortune out of it. You're not even getting dunya and the material benefits of this temporary life in this world. Somebody else is benefiting and you are selling your faith for his interests, not even your own interests of this world, which is also condemned. We never sell our faith, our iman anyways. But that's the kind of people you can find around. So basically, we keep away from the fasiq. That's the pattern that the fasiq person may end up doing it towards you. He will sell you for a piece of food, uklatin aw aqal, or less than that. When someone asked Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam that I have a daughter. That I have a daughter. You know, li ibnatun uridu an uzawwijaha. I have a daughter, I want to marry her. You know, obviously every father is worried to marry her daughter timely in a respectful way. And find someone who is a spiritual parallel kufu towards his daughter. It's natural. Every father thinks like that. And to find someone, a son-in-law, who is, you know, going to take care of the daughter. So he is seeking the advice for Ra'yuka. He's seeking the advice of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And Imam replies back that Zawij, marry your daughter to someone, man yattaqillaha azza wa jal, who has taqwa of Allah. Fa'in ahabbaha akramaha. If he ends up loving her, he would respect her. Wa in lam yuhibbaha lam yadhlimha. And if he does not end up loving her, he was not going to do, is not going to do zulm and oppression on her. So this is the minimum we learn in the light of the hadith. This is the minimum what a father should expect, you know, that at least the rights of his daughter should be respected. She's not subject to any kind of zulm or oppression. Her huquq and, you know, rights are taken care of. You know, you cannot enforce the love in the heart of anybody. They have to earn the love themselves. So this is going to happen when a person has taqwa. The only guarantor to provide guarantee for your son or daughter to stay happy in terms of akhirat, you know, that means sa'adat, sa'adatun ukhrawiyya, the spiritual and eternal success, that kind of happiness we are talking about. The only factor which can guarantee your happiness in terms of akhirat for your son and daughter is to find out the person is muttaqi, keeping away from the fasiq. This is what we are discussing. And then Imam alayhi salam says, Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam says, wa iyyaka wa musahabat al-bakhil. Keep away from the companionship of a miser, bakhil. We did talk about bukhl, I think, long time ago in the series of lectures when we were talking about the moral attributes. So for those of you who were present, I don't know how many of you were present at that time, but we did elaborately discuss about that subject. Bukhl is obviously a condemned sifat and attribute in Islamic morality, and is not found in a mu'min. Bukhl shajaratun asluha fi jahannam. Bukhl is the name of a tree, and the root of that tree is actually rooted inside the hellfire. A mu'min has nothing to do with the hellfire. Isn't it right? So bukhl has nothing to do with the mu'min either. So bukhl is not supposed to be found in a mu'min, because it's the name of a tree which is rooted in Jahannam. Whereas as-sakha or shajaratun and generosity, on the other hand, is the name of a tree as well. And the root of that tree is found inside Jannat, inside the paradise. So a mu'min is always supposed to be sakhi, generous, and always supposed to avoid the attribute of bukhl, being a miser or stingy or miser, bakhil. So why are you supposed to, Imam is talking to his son, telling him the reason. Imam is asking him to avoid the companionship of a bakhil, a miser, and the reason he mentions is that فَإِنَّهُ يَخْزُلُكَ فِي مَالِهِ أَحْوَجْ مَا تَكُونُ إِلَيْهِ. So in the most needy times, when you need the money, he is going to deceive you. He's not going to help you. He's not going to support you in the most need, hour of need, the time of need. So Imam is asking his own son to keep away from a miser. Don't make him as your companion. And obviously, as-sakhiyu, the hadith says, as-sakhiyu qareebun min Allah, qareebun min al-nas, qareebun min al-jannah, ba'idun min al-nar. Sakhi person is close to Allah, close to the people, close to Jannat, and away from the hell. Well, bakhilo, you know, ba'idun min Allah, ba'idun min al-nas, ba'idun min al-jannah, qareebun ila al-nar. And a bakhil person is away from Allah, away from the people. Obviously, who's going to like a miser, isn't it right? It makes sense. Away from the paradise and close to the hell. So we need to remember that when certain attributes have been emphasized in the hadith, it has a lot of importance. So much emphasis you find over sakhawat that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said that shabun sakhiyun murhiqun bizzunub, that means a young person, shab, a young person, sakhi, who is generous, murhiq bizzunub, somebody who is into the sins, it's called murhiq, somebody who is into the sins and he is just drowned into sinning behavior. That kind of young boy, who is sakhi, he's generous, but he's into the sins. Prophet says, أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْخٍ عَابِدٍ بَخِيلٍ, is more beloved in the eyes of Allah than an old person, elderly person, شَيْخٍ عَابِدٍ بَخِيلٍ, an elderly person who is abid, he performs worships and ibadat, but he is bakhil. And he's bakhil. So if an elderly person is bakhil, he may be doing ibadat. He is less beloved in the eyes of Allah as a young boy who is into the sins, but he maintained one attribute in his personality, that was sakhawat and generosity. So all the sins on one side, that one attribute will make him superior in the eyes of Allah as compared to this elderly man who is doing so many worships of Allah, but he has one bad thing, that is bukhl. Now you can understand how much emphasis the Prophet is laying on this. So much that I will mention one other hadith to you if you say a salawat. So here in this hadith we find, which is also from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, where Prophet says, Ar-rijalu arba'atun. Men are four. That means four type of people. Sakhiyun wa kareemun wa bakhilun wa la'im. Either sakhi or kareem, or bakhil, a miser, or la'im, a lowly person. Then Prophet says, فَالسَّخِيُّ الَّذِي سَخِي is that one, يَأْكُلُ وَيُعْطِي. He eats and gives. That means he eats himself as well. He keeps something for his own self. He eats. Plus, he gives away to others as well. This is sakhi and generous. That's the minimum. What this is not there in the hadith, but I am explaining to you. This is a minimum which is required in the mu'min as an attribute, that we have to be sakhi. That means we are allowed to keep some for ourselves and eat ourselves as well. Plus, at least give away some to others too. And then Prophet says, "Wal kareem alladhi la ya'kulu wa yu'ti." Kareem is that person who does not eat and gives away. This means kareem is superior than sakhi. Isn't it right? That he is on the level of isar and sacrifice. He gives away what he wants for himself. He ignores his own ihtiyaj and need. And he gives away to others. He himself does not eat, but he gives away to others. That's how the Prophet was. That's how the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam were. Isn't it right? They are fasting for the whole day. And now when somebody knocks at the door, that I am a miskeen, destitute person. Imam Ali alayhi salam gives away his bread. And Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha gives away her bread. If a sinner like me was there, I would have thought in my head, well, when Imam Ali has already given his bread, so what? Let me eat something. You know, taking care of your need is allowed in Islam. What's wrong with that? Isn't that right? But then I'm not going to be called a kareem. So Hazrat Fatima also ignores her own need and gives away her bread. And not just her, but Imam Hassan does the same. Imam Hussain does the same. And her maid, Hazrat Fidda salamullah alayha, she also did the same. She also gave away her bread too. So all of the people in that household are kareem ibn al-Kurama. Isn't it right? And the same happened the next day when they were about to fast. So they, were about to eat their food, their bread. And again, another guy knocks at the door that I'm a yatim and an orphan. Another stronger chance for a sinner like me to say, well, I'm hungry for the last 2 days now. What's wrong if I eat something, keep something for my own self? It's now 2 days I did not eat. Enough is enough. Isn't it right? I could have thought like that on those lines. But they didn't think on those lines. They gave away what they have. They ignored their own need and necessity and gave away to this orphan, this yatim, an orphan. And the third day also, so they went to go hungry that night again. And the third day they fasted again. And at the third day also, the third person knocks at the door. And the narration tells us all of them were angels. None of them were the regular people. It's the azamat and greatness of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, that those who come to their door as beggars are some of the greatest angels of Allah, who have been given this blessing and opportunity by Allah to go and beg at the door of Fatima al-Zahra salallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the azamat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, that angels are beggars at their doorstep. So on the third day, an orphan, a captive, a seer comes, a person who was captured and he's released recently from some sort of jail. And he says, you know, that I'm hungry, and they again gave away all that they had, all those breads. So we are talking about the hadith of the Prophet, where Prophet is dividing humankind into four categories: sakhiyun wa kareemun wa bakhilun wa la'im. Then Prophet defines sakhi and generous: fasakhiyu ladhi ya'kulu wa yu'ti. Generous is the person who eats and gives. Wal kareem alladhi la ya'kulu wa yu'ti. Kareem is the person who does not eat, but he gives. That means he ignores his own necessity and does not eat himself, does not keep for himself, gives away. And then Prophet says, wal bakhil alladhi ya'kulu wa la yu'ti. And bakhil is the person who eats but does not give. And he eats as when it comes to himself, he eats, he keeps that ni'mat to himself. When it comes to giving away the ni'mat to others, no, he's not ready to give. He does not give. Well, la'im, and the worst is yet to come. La'im means a lowly person. Prophet says, well, la'im alladhi la ya'kulu wa la yu'ti. La'im is a person who does not eat. That means for his own self also he's not eating. And he is not ready to give away. He does not give. There are people who are la'im as well. Isn't it right? Is a the hadith says is a ghadab al ash-sharif fa alin lahu al-kalam. Prophet teaches us when a sharif person, a noble person, becomes angry, fa alin lahu al-kalam. Soften your talk to him. That means you talk softly to him. وَإِذَا غَضِبَ اللَّئِيمِ فَخُذْ لَهُ الْعَصَىٰ. And a la'im person becomes angry, pick up the stick for him. So there's a different behavior that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are teaching us towards Sharif and la'im. Isn't it right? You cannot treat everyone equally. So la'im is the person who الَّذِي لَا يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يُعْطِي. Does not eat and does not give. And our scholars of akhlaq say this li'amat, pasti, and lowliness, you know, takes a person to, is likely to take a person to a level where he is, he basically doesn't eat, doesn't benefit from the blessing his own self, plus is not ready to give away the blessing and share the ni'mat and blessings of Allah with others. Not just that, but this lowliness can possibly take a person to a level where he feels pain when others are benefiting from any blessing. You yourself are not benefiting from the blessing. You don't let others give their blessings to others. Plus, if others are giving or benefiting from some blessings, you are feeling the pain for that. This is the kind of lowliness a person can undergo. So, إِيَّاكَ وَمُصَاحَبَةَ Bakhil. So Imam Sajjad al-Islam teaches some of his children to keep away from the companionship of a miser. And then, you see, Hatim al-Ta'i has been praised so much. Isn't it right? We praise him for his sakha. And it's narrated in the history that in his house, he had 70 doors. When he died, his real brother said, I'm going to sit on his place. That means I'm going to take up the place of my deceased brother and start doing the same sakhawat and generosity how he used to do, give away to anyone who comes for help. His mom said, you cannot be Hatim. Obviously, who knows the son better than the mother who birthed the son? Isn't it right? So he sat one the first day, and a woman came to beg at one door. He gave away a gold coin, dinar. She came on the next, from the next door, he gave a silver coin, dirham. She came from the third door, and he started to scream, are you not ashamed to beg for the third time? You are the one who took two coins already, isn't it right? In other words. So she said that you are not Hatim, because when I used to come to him, I used to come on all the 70 doors and he never said a word. He always gave me 70, you know, from all those doors. So in Islam, there is a level of high level of praise for the person who has sakhawat. Wa iyyaka wa musahabat al ahmaq. The fourth person, second last, Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam is teaching to some of his children that keep away from the companionship of ahmaq, stupid. فَإِنَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَنْفَعَكَ فَيَضُرُّكَ. Because he will intend to help you, but he will end up harming you. This is just perfectly correct, you know. A silly companion is going to be definitely worse than an intelligent enemy. Isn't it right? So we need to avoid the silly companion. And then the last of all, he says, وَإِيَّكَ وَمُصَحَبَةَ الْقَاطِعِ لِرَحِمِهِ. And keep away from the companionship of the one who breaks away from his relative. قَطْعُ الرَّحِمِ. Breaking away from our relatives. This is a big sin in Islam. Isn't it right? And Imam As-Sajjad is teaching to some of his children. And Imam says, فَإِنِّي وَجَدْتُهُ مَلْعُونًا فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Because I found him mal'oon in the book of Allah. This person is cursed in Quran. So Quran has sent la'nat and curse of Allah on the person who breaks away from his relatives. This person is mal'oon. Our Ahlul Bayt never used to befriend a person who breaks away from his relatives. Isn't it right? So we never break away from our relatives. We don't do that. And please say salawat. And when someone asks Prophet Isa, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, ya ruhallah, man najalis. We are talking about companionship tonight. So what kind of person we need to hang around with, sit with? And Prophet Isa replies back. So, you know, and obviously we don't know what Prophet Isa has said. We were not there. If it was not narrated by our Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam to us, we would never discover what Prophet Isa had said. So when Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are telling us, it becomes the hadith of Ahlul Bayt as well. And it becomes hujjat upon us. Isn't it right? Whatever Ahlul Bayt say is hujjat. So this is hujjat now for us. That Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam is still telling and narrating that. The Prophet Isa says that, when somebody basically asked him the question that whom should we sit with, he says that, Man yuzakkirukum Allaha ru'yatuhu. Someone whose ru'yat, looking at him, makes you remember Allah. We need to sit with that kind of person. Looking at him will make us remember Allah. Wa yuraghibukum fil akhirati amaluhu. And his action makes you raghib and eager towards akhirat. That kind of person whose amal actions make us raghib and eager towards akhirat. Wa yazidu fi amalikum mantiquhu. And his talk makes you increases in your actions. You know, what he talks, his conversation increases in your amal. That kind of person, we need to sit with. So, please say salawat. So we find that there was a mu'min from Balkh. Balkh is a city from Afghanistan. And he used to come every year to visit Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam in Medina. That's a long way from Balkh, especially in those days when people were riding mules and donkeys or camels or horses. Horses were only for the rich. Not everybody had a horse. Horse was a rich thing. So, coming all the way from Balkh, you know, thousands of kilometers to Medina every year for the ziyarat of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. And every year when he used to come, he used to buy some gifts for the Imam. The Imam doesn't need no gifts, isn't it right? But this shows our love. You know, hadiya, giving gifts to each other, is mustahab in Islam, is a sunnah of Rasulullah. You know, tahaddu, Prophet has said in his hadith that give gifts to each other. So that's the sunnah of Rasulullah. Prophet used to give gifts, Ahlul Bayt used to give gifts to their mu'mineen, their followers. So we find this woman used to bring gifts for Imam alayhi salam every year. And once as he was departing his hometown, his wife said that, you go and give gifts to your Imam every year. Did your Imam ever give you some gift? This is, first of all, not a respectful way to talk about the Imams, isn't it right? Imams are not supposed to give us, we are supposed to benefit spiritually from the Imams. That's then get the guidance. So, and we are supposed to sacrifice everything we have for our Imams, not vice versa. But there are some people who think on those lines. So he said to his wife, don't talk like this. Same thing, you know, this, it's not good to say this kind of thing for the Imam, in other words. So the conversation happened and he departed. And this time when he came to see Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam in Medina, and he gave the gifts to the Imam. And then obviously it's the time for food came. Imam obviously was eating the food. So when they stopped, they were done from eating the food, Imam wanted to wash the hands. So it is mustahab, sunnat of the Prophet to wash the hand before eating food, and sunnat of the Prophet to wash the hands after eating food. So that removes the faqr. You know, the hadith says, أَوَّلُهُ يَنْفِي الْفَقْرِ. If you wash the hands in the beginning of the food, it removes poverty. So, he said to the Imam that, let me wash your hands. It's against Islamic akhlaq and morality to take help from your guests, to give them some task to do in your own house. It's against the akhlaq of the Prophet. Isn't it right? So Imam was not willing to do that, but he insisted. When he insisted over the Imam, Imam allowed him to pour water. So he was pouring water over the hands of the Imam, and Imam As-Sajjad Islam was washing his hands, and he rubbed his hand to each other and said to the person, look at there, in other words, and look at this. There was a bowl, a tasht, Imam asked him to look there, and as he looked, they were red rubies instead of the water. And then Imam said, pour the water. So he poured some more water, in other words. And Imam asked him to look. And when he looked there were white pearls instead of the water for the second time. And then Imam asked him to pour water. And he poured the water for the third time. And this time he found they were green emeralds. Zabarjad. There was no water. These are all these precious stones. And Imam alayhi salam said to him that, take this gift for your wife. So Imam alayhi salam is sending the gift. And obviously, when he departs the Imam and he reaches all the way to his house and he gives the gifts to his wife, His wife says, well, what a Kareem Imam he is, that he's sending the gift for us. So next time when you want to go to see for the ziyarat of the Imam, I will also accompany you. So she accompanied her husband on the next year, and they both traveled. As they reached close to the city of Medina, this lady died. She became sick and she dies. The person was very upset, obviously, because they came all the way with all the hardships of the travel, isn't it right, for the ziyarat of the Imam, and she had an intention to do the ziyarat of the Imam, but she could not do that. So he was upset, and he came to the Imam, and he said that my wife was coming with me for your ziyarat, but this is what happened. She became sick and she died just outside, in the outskirts of Medina. So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam stood up and he started to do his 2 rakats of prayers. That's the sunnah of Rasulullah. Whenever Prophet had an hajat, Prophet used to pray 2 rakats of prayers. Isn't that right? So Imam Sajjad alayhi salam stood up, he did his 2 rakats of prayers, and he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said to the person, go, your wife is alive and crying in loneliness. So he came back to that spot and he found his wife is alive sitting there. And he said to his wife, didn't you die? And she said, yes, I died. And the angel was taking my soul away. And as he was taking the soul away, there was a person like this and this and this description. And he said to the angel that, he said to the angel of death that, didn't Allah command you to be obedient towards the children of Fatima? I have already taken a 30-year age for this woman, so bring her back. So now this woman comes back towards Medina along with her husband, and she sees, as soon as she looks at the face of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, she says, this is the same person who brought my soul back and said this to the angel of death. This is how our Imams alayhi salam, because they were Kareem and Rahim and Ra'uf and the Madhar of Arhamur Rahimeen, have been displaying their support towards the Mu'mineen. But when it comes to the life of Imam alayhi salam, he is the one who undergoes some of the worst hardships of the history. Al-Bakka'una Khamsatun. The hadith says that the 5 people are the ones who cried a lot. And one of those 5 mentioned in the hadith is Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. He cried for 35 years, or some narrations say for 40 years of his life. Imam Sajjad alayhi salam was constantly crying for that long. Crying over the madlumiyat of his father. So much crying. Obviously, he saw all those scenes. He saw what happened to Sakina bint al-Husayn. He saw what happened to Abul Fadl Abbas. He saw what happened to Qasim ibn al-Hasan. He saw what happened to Ali ibn al-Akbar. How much Imam Husayn used to love his son. He saw what happened to Abdullah ibn al-Hasan. How the 2 hands of Abdullah ibn al-Hasan was cut off, chopped off, close to the body of Imam al-Husayn. He saw all those things. He saw how the ladies of Ahl al-Haram were coming out from the Khaybah. He saw all those situations. He saw how Imam al-Husayn was doing his qital. He saw how Imam al-Husayn is hungry and thirsty. Every time Mawla Imam al-Sajjad used to drink the water is brought in front of the Imam, he used to start crying. Crying so much. And he used to say, Qutila Abi Adshana. My father was killed thirsty.
when we find that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, this caravan was about to enter into Dimashq. And Sahal says, As-Sa'idi, that I entered into the city and I found they were decorating the city. I asked some person, why are you decorating the city? There's no Eid today. And they said, no, there was a rebel who rebelled against the Khalifa Yazid and his family is brought as captives. That's why we are decorating the city. And he says, Sahal al-Sa'idi says, I looked at this caravan about to enter. There is a da'if and weak person walking in front of the caravan. And there are certain ladies without the hijab. And there are some heads of the people over the spear. And I came close to this weak person. He did not recognize this Imam al-Sajjad. And he asked them, you know, who are you? And Imam looks at me and says, that Sahal, you did not recognize me? In other words, and he says, I was so embarrassed that this person even calls me by name, but I don't recognize him. And he says to the Imam Sajjad, would you introduce yourself? And Imam says, Anabno Makkata wal Mina, Anabno Zamzama was Safa, Anabno Aliyin al Murtada, Anabno Fatima al Zahra. Imam alayhi salam is introducing himself. As soon as he recognizes that this is Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn, he falls down over the feet of the Mawla. Mawla, is there anything I can do for you? And Imam alayhi salam, Imam asks him two things. If you can give some money to these people so they can take the ladies from a place where there are less people standing there to watch them. In other words, and then the second thing that Imam also, the other thing that he mentioned is to, if you can arrange for some cloth. As soon as he hears that, he takes off his amama and he folds and he gives it to the Imam. And Mawla says that whom are you giving to? A person whose hands is tied. Obviously the hands of the Imam are already tied. He cannot hold that cloth. And Sahal al-Sa'idi says, Mawla, let me know what I am supposed to do with this cloth. And Imam says, that pick up that tawq, pick up that steel collar with the spikes, pick up that steel collar, in other words, and put the cloth under it. And Sahal says, when I picked up the steel collar, to put the cloth, I found the whole back of the Imam is red with the blood coming out from those injuries.
Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen wa sayya'alamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalabiyan qalibun. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ilahi bihaqq al-Zahra wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirr al-mustawda'i fiha. Ya Allah, 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 ya Allah. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin wa akhdhul al-Kuffara wal-Munafiqeen. Allahumma ansur man nasara al-Din واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas for the soul of the grandmother of brother Shaja'at who passed away recently.